Well, hello everybody out there, and welcome to the 13th weekly pandemic open mic Monday. It's 13 weeks ago I started this series of open mics, which are these days broadcast on the Facebook pages of Popular Resistance and KABU Community Radio, along with my own Facebook pages and YouTube, Periscope, LinkedIn, VK, Twitch accounts. And it's been a wonderful international, you know, maybe stylistically centered around acoustic musicians, which kind of works for an open mic when people are in their living rooms. It's kind of how it goes. It's been, as this episode will be as well, international, and they generally have been including a whole bunch of folks from various parts of the U.S., Canada, England, and Ireland, and occasionally elsewhere, maybe not. Eventually, we'll get somebody from somewhere else. It's everybody's welcome to sign up out there if you got a song or a poem or a rant or anything. If you go to that website that's scrolling along down there, davidrovics.com/POMM for a pandemic open mic Monday, then you'll find a little sign up link. And once you've signed up, then you basically will receive the email every week with the link to the studio. So you don't need to necessarily sign up again, because you'll just keep on. That's how it's been so far. If we get overwhelmed with too many people signing up someday, then you know, maybe I'll start doing it differently, but this way seems to work just fine. So people who are free on a given Monday, who signed up for the open mic on a previous at some previous time, they can just join as they like, unless the queue is full, which occasionally happens. But now we got a wonderful cast of characters in the queue, four people coming up after me, and more will be joining as we go. And if you did sign up for this one or a previous one and you didn't get the email with the link to today's broadcast studio, then just check your spam folder, because it's probably in there. And as usual, I'll kick it off with a song of my own as the host slash participant in the open mics. And then we got a whole bunch of other participants, some of whom have been coming by on most every Monday and others just occasionally. And it's we love regulars and newcomers. Occasional people or regular people, whatever, you know, we like it all. And having run open mics in physical spaces, it feels remarkably like running an open mic, doing it online. And the only main difference is that there's no geographical limitations, so that's kind of cool. I like that aspect of it, but otherwise, it's a lot like running an open mic. And for those people who are, you know, out there experimenting with live streaming and stuff, like I have been, like many, many others, it's a lot like the real world, you know, with some differences, pros and cons. But I'm here in Portland, Oregon, where we've just now had 52 consecutive nights of protests, most of which end with the police declaring a riot zone and attacking everybody with tear gas and all sorts of other munitions. And I've written a lot of songs about that, but I'll just do this one that I wrote a week ago or so. Cloth torn and fraying came like a clarion call to illustrate the saying, "You indicted, we stand divided, we fall. A thin veneer torn by disease. Shredded, the great con laid bare. Come from across the seas. Now floating in the air, like a corpse that's lying exposed, that all of us now can see. All that the cadaver shows about a society. The veil of fantasy lifted, that gives us at least some idea how another world is possible. And I can hear her breathing now. Like the red blood that flows from the bullet, whether coated in rubber or not. Like the faces you see in the helmet, reflecting the thickening plot. Driven by such a villain as a thing exponential allows, another world is possible. I can hear her breathing now. Like the pallor on so many faces, on every end of the town, on the murals in so many places, boarded up and long ago shut down. Making all the connections between the mule and the plow, that says another world is possible. And I can hear her breathing now. Like the smoke rising up coast to coast, with formations that brighten the skies. Like Lord Thomas Jefferson's ghost, his victims no longer disguised. As his visage falls into the river, like the skull of an old sacred cow, another world is possible. I can hear her breathing now. Now I will plug this into the computer so I can hear the next guest I will be talking to momentarily, who is Per Andreasen. Wonderful to have you back with us, Per.
Hello.
Hey. What's happening there in North Dakota?
I mean, not much. You know, we had our organizing our marches, our street actions, and a lot of that has now sort of faded into the background. Which, that we had it at all, is pretty impressive for Fargo, Grand Forks. There's been
I agree, but it's interesting to hear that it's faded.
Well, it's shifted, right? You shift gears, and now some of the organizations that really emerged from those street actions are doing sort of different, more work directly with the city, more sort of targeted actions, vigils as opposed to marches. It's more what we have the energy and people to sustain right now than, you know, maybe the revolution we'd want to see. But in Minneapolis, the police have decided that the best way to quell further unrest is to send drones out to spy on nude sunbathers and ticket them. So that's cool.
Are they ticketing them for being for not being socially distant or for being nude?
Oh no, for being nude. Heaven forbid you untie the strap of your bikini top while you're laying on your front. Yeah.
Oh man, this is the Puritan country.
It's the,
I mean, you know, when if people in Germany or France hear about this stuff, they are just cracking up.
Yeah, and it's just the most if you set out to drive more of a wedge between the police and the community than there already was.
Nude sunbathing.
Pretty much how you do it. Yeah. It's bizarre.
You got a new song for us or an old song for us?
Yeah, no, got a new one.
Great.
A couple weeks ago, I mentioned I was putting together an EP of songs about the Civil War. And at the time, I thought the writing was all done. But then I learned about the Free State of Jones, which was Jones County, Mississippi, voted to remain in the Union, sent their representative to the Convention on Secession, and the only options presented at that convention were secede now or secede later. So their representative voted to secede later and then didn't dare to show his face in Jones County again, I believe, for the rest of his life. Regardless, this community in the swamp, in the pine swamps of Mississippi, managed to remain outside of Confederate control for the duration of the war. And so
interesting.
That's what this song is about. So Mississippi would secede, okay. But in Jones County we voted to stay. As proud and penniless farmers swore, we wouldn't fight in a rich man's war. Named ourselves the Jones County Scouts. Raised a Union flag up over the courthouse. Blood tells a tale. Surrounded, we didn't play. Burned the last bridge back off the brink. Blood tells a tale on Pine Knot Stone. You can find a sign of the Free State of Jones. They raided our wedding. Long knives and shot. They let slip the bloodhounds in ruthless attack. We ground red pepper to cover our tracks. For over 2 years, piney woods bled. We danced with the devil and buried our dead. Blood tells a tale on Pine and Stone. You can find the sign of the Free State of Jones. sorrow ghosts their kids carry on. Atonal refrain to a rose-tinted song. Living reminders of rebellion and love. In all of our heritage, something we're proud of. And Newt Knight is buried with Rachel beside him. Even in death, no law could divide them. Blood tells a tale on pine and stone. You can find a sign of the Free State of Jones. Blood tells a tale on pine and stone.
Fantastic. Great story. I had never heard of it. Wonderful. Thank you. The Free State of Jones. I guess if I Google that, something's going to come up.
Yeah, well, actually a movie with, I think, Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, good.
But
was it a good movie?
I haven't seen it. It's got mixed reviews. I think it was brigaded by racists. There's some fascinating journalism around the making of the movie and talking to people who were in Jones County about the story. And actually there's an interview, firsthand interview with Newt Knight, who is the leader of the military leader of the movement. He was 90 something at the time of the interview, and it was, yeah, it's a fascinating piece from a number of angles. But yeah, it felt like a story that needed telling.
Definitely.
So
yeah. Thank you, Pear.
Thank you.
Hope to see you again soon.
Absolutely.
And we'll hop over most of the continent and then the Atlantic to the first landmass we come to, past, I guess, Newfoundland, then Iceland, and then we get to Ireland, depending on, you know, how you're going, you know, if you're a crow or not. Oh, wait a sec. I see what happened. Here we go. Stephen.
Hi, David.
Stephen McRandall. Great to see you again. How are you holding up?
No bothers here at all. They've postponed the eviction is again till the 10th of August. So some friends were worried they were going to do it last week or something like that there, but they postponed it again until the 10th of August. So we'd see what happens on the,
right.
10th.
The 10th of August. That's a kind of a random time. You'd think they'd usually, like, you pay the rent at the beginning of the month usually, so they would extend the ban on evictions till the end of the month, but the 10th of August it was, huh?
You wouldn't be expecting too much sense out of them or anything, you know, trying to follow why they do what they do when they do it. It's like, I can't make them out, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we've got till the 10th of August, so we'd see what happens then.
Yeah, right. So you just gotta, I just gotta be prepared for this month, this week's reading. Are you gonna talk about hemorrhoids this time, or we have no hemorrhoids in this one?
There's no hemorrhoids in this.
No
one.
Hemorrhoids. Okay, no. I just have to mentally prepare myself.
Okay. Yeah, you might have other. I mean, I don't know.
There might be other things. Yeah. There'll be other disgusting things, I'm sure, but not hemorrhoids this time. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was excellent last week, including the hemorrhoids. You know, but looking forward to what you got this week. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. It's about real democracy. You know, it started off called the Real Democracy Movement, and then went on to the Occupy movement. But anyway, it's called Real Democracy and Malice. So much money went into keeping people distracted and misinformed that the possibility of real democracy was a slim one. The education system, the media, and the entertainment business all ensured people remained passive, isolated, fearful consumers. People were coming away from their TVs and coming out onto the streets to start talking to each other about the very subjects that they had been indoctrinated into leaving to their rulers. It was happening in Greece, Italy, Spain. Slim chance, was still a chance. We're trying in Ireland too. Alice went down to one of their meetings outside Dublin's GPO. There was an open mic and people got up and gave their 2 pence worth. People chanted, "The IMF are Muppets, we are not your puppets." One person would chant and the crowd would respond. Man, I felt the chant itself was a little Muppet or puppet-like. Anyway, it was suggested that everyone hold hands and line the road. Manus liked that idea. Not only were they going to topple the world order, but he was going to hold someone's hand. He held the hand of 2 Spanish women. It was the first time he had held a woman's hand in years. He was definitely going to the next assembly. They held the next assembly up at Shomer Spree, an autonomous, non-hierarchical social centre, which was itself a hub of resistance to corporate domination. And it's the trouble with meetings or indoor assemblies. He wasn't used to sitting still in a chair for that long. And his tobacco addiction and preference to mix it with illegal hash was an encumbrance. Still, he tried. It was tedious and took a lot of patience. And at the end of it, you might have decided very little. Basic stance was against corporate control of the world's wealth. There was a couple of dozen or so people. Did they really believe they were going to change the world? Overthrow the corporations who had control of the world's media, the world's resources, the world's security forces? In the face of all the empire's might, nobody could seriously believe it. But empires had fallen before, and here they all were, all roughly 2 dozen of them, plotting the downfall of an empire. Manus had to wonder on the personal social lives of the group. What brought them out? Their private aspirations. He personally didn't have a social life, so it was at least in part just the notion of mixing with like-minded people that brought him out. There were a few women at the assemblies too, and Manus had to wonder on his chances. They weren't very good. His looks had, up until the last decade, always allowed him to take a back seat in the courtship rituals. Now that the years had taken his looks, he was at a loss as to how it was done. The Real Democracy crew marched from St. Stephen's Green to the Doyle. There was already another group of people protesting outside the Doyle. People with special needs were going to have their funding cut under the new austerity measures, and they were pleased at first to be joined by the Real Democracy people. It all looked good for a while. Both groups cheered and clapped each other. The united force of the people could possibly win out in the end. Then the difference in approach to solving the problem of dealing with the austerity measures became a source of aggravation. The special needs people wanted to work within the structures provided to preserve the hard-fought-for rights and funding which the austerity measures were about to erode. Real Democracy people wanted to get rid of the present structures altogether. Special needs people had somebody inside the Doyle presenting their case, and they were relaying the debate outside the Doyle. The Real Democracy people made it difficult to hear by chanting over the debate, like they weren't going to take into consideration what anybody else was doing. It seemed a shame, a chance missed. The Real Democracy crew held up letters in front of themselves for a photo shoot. REALDEMOCRACY. Manus held the A from the first word. He wondered just then if the movement would grow until it encompassed the whole population. Would they ever disempower those politicians inside the Doyle? Would they ever disempower the corporations on whose stage those politicians danced? The unbelievable can't take place. Manus was stood between 2 women. The letters E and L were each held by a woman. It was the closest proximity he had been with women since the last protest. The back of E, A and L's hands sometimes collided as they held the letters out. And Manus got a little para about his needs leeching out of him. If real democracy was to be a real possibility, he wanted to help bring it about. He didn't want his leching psyche driving these women away. They seemed worlds away from him in experiences or culture in so many ways. They were all stood together here outside the Doyle, trying to make a more humane world. They seem sincere. So was he. That didn't mean he didn't notice Elle's thong rise out of her low slung jeans. Poor Manus. On his own for so long, he could hardly see a woman, regardless of size, shape, age, creed, colour, or even their social and economic standing, without wondering on the possibilities of him and her getting it together. Truthfully, though, after so long on his own, he was beginning to come to the conclusion that such possibilities could only be realised in some social vacuum, like a deserted island or something. Here he was, stood between two beauties, and then the miracle happened. He got a phone call, which he didn't pick up right away, but when the photo shoot was over, he checked his phone and got a voice message from a woman just in the area and was thinking of calling down. She was healthy and fit and wanted it. He had been fearful of the maxim, if you don't use it, you lose it. But she was warm and wet and welcoming, and they got to enjoy the sublime and the gross pleasure of the age-old act. He'd call around and stay for a few days at a time. They would read books out loud for each other and smoke dope and watch movies and have mammoth sex sessions. He felt like Lazarus, resurrected with renewed vigour for life. She didn't want it known that she shagged him. It would hurt her ex, she said. Manus thought that was a load of bollocks. But power structures and honesty don't mix, so he refrained from arguing his case with a clear understanding that to do so would cause her to stop calling around and shagging him. It didn't matter much. It wouldn't last long. She had been sexually curious about him, even back when she was with her ex. And then when she wanted to put a little sexual distance between her and her ex, Manus had been handy. But it hadn't been any more than that. She was much younger than him, and he was flattered. But when she stopped calling, he wasn't surprised or brokenhearted. He did little more than register the drop in his general physiology and hope the condition wouldn't be permanent. Meanwhile, back at Real Democracy, they had started a camp outside the Central Bank in Dublin. The call for real democracy, led by the needs of the people rather than corporate profit, had turned into the Occupy movement. People all over the Western world were staying out of their houses and setting up tents in high-profile public places. Manus went down to Dublin's Dame Street Occupy site to lend his support. He sparked up one of his ready-rolled one-skinner spliffs and had hardly taken a puff when some bloke with a red dread came over and told him it was forbidden. Manus and the red dread's egos clashed until Red was threatening to go off and find some police to arrest Manus. Manus couldn't afford to get arrested. He had a six-year-old daughter to look after. Red Dread would never know how he would affect Manus's daughter when he had her father arrested, but Manus knew. So Manus left the camp. He was raging. He stayed away for a bit, long enough for him to cool down. When he went back, the next few general assemblies were taken up in a large part by the debate on whether or not the Occupy movement should march alongside the trade union who had invited them. At least three general assemblies were given over to the debate. Then, on the day finally arranged to vote on the matter, the rule by consensus allowed eight people to block the vote by saying that it was against the movement's basic principles to march alongside trade unions whose leading representatives were part of the 1%. As though the rank and file members were polluted by their leading representatives. It didn't make sense. But speeches were made, delivered with full gusto and much sweeping back of the hair and fists thrust in the air. Many references were made to the heroic day of the 1916 rebellion. Of all the rebels from that period, the eight reminded Manus of De Valera. He had said something about only having to look into his heart to know what was best for the Irish people. Lots of people left the General Assemblies that night, never to return. Still, Manus didn't give up. He went down again one Monday night. There was a little wooden hut now and a fence all round the tents. They had a bouncer patrolling the perimeter. "Looks like a private club," Manus said to the bouncer. Manus said it to provoke a rise, but the bouncer didn't bat an eyelid. "Yeah, it pretty much is at this time of night," he said. Then he kind of caught himself on and at it. "Different during the day, though." Manus went down during the day and it wasn't much different. It still seemed like a private club. Point was brought up at a general assembly, and suggestions were put forward to make the camp more hospitable and open. Someone suggested that smiles on the campers would help welcome people in. Man, is it half a fear that a smiling policy might be passed? People were funny. Lawrence voiced a complaint about the Irish national flag being stuck up outside the little hut. His complaint was more about the way the flag was put up without a consultation of anyone else on the camp. The nationalist contingency made a strong case for their flag being flown. Manus threw his Tuppentworth in. He was not a nationalist. As a child in Belfast, the flag had been illegal, and he and the rest of his Christian Brother Primary School had, after a day trip to Dublin, smuggled tiny little tricolours into the north. In his pre-teen years, Manus had ran through the high-walled cobblestone courtyard of Belfast City Centre Police Barracks with the flag. He'd caused an orange band, parading its supremacy and domination, to stop in shock, horror and consternation when he stuck his tiny symbol of defiance out his bedroom window. It meant something very different to him then. Now, flying down in Dublin's Dame Street Occupy camp, it reminded him of loyalists flying Union Jacks up north. There were nationalists in the movement, also internationalists, who rejected the whole notion of state-imposed boundaries. There was anti-drug campaigners in the movement. There was also drug users in the movement who rejected any notion of adult humans having some nanny tell them what substances were drugs and which they could use. You'd soon be able to buy Real Democracy and Occupy Wall Street and Dame Street t-shirts in the big brand stores. Market forces have the ability to encompass mostly everything, mostly every individual, group, club, movement, regardless of what banners they fly or personal belief system they hold. The market would be pliable and accommodating enough to make profit from them. It snubbed no one. The Occupy movement had to be just as incompetent. Manus and millions of others around the globe, both on and off Occupy sites, wanted to make a world that prized human needs over corporate profit. The road is long and the struggle hard, and victory is far from assured. But what choice do we have but to keep trying? That's a story for this week.
Fantastic, Stephen. Brings me back to Occupy. There's a bank occupied in Belfast during the Occupy movement. That was a great hangout.
I bet it was. I didn't hang out in Belfast at the time,
right?
Yeah, but Belfast. I'd like to see stuff happening in Belfast. That, what you know, it's wonderful. I've been up to Belfast a few times, and I haven't seen any of the sectarian, you know, stuff that I'm used to. And I have seen some political stuff up on the walls, you know, like regarding freaking corporate domination of our planet, you know.
Yeah, and Occupy was the Occupy movement in Belfast was wonderfully non-sectarian as well. It was also, yeah, a good.
Yeah, you know, it has some good heads. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks again, Stephen.
Thanks again, David. See you next week.
Wonderful. And then hopping back over to this side of the Atlantic, but a safer country than the one I'm in, Steve Deasy. Great to have you back. How's Canada?
It's great to be back. Canada is good. I think in pretty much Ontario, most of the province is doing well. And like I said before, Windsor-Essex County, where I am, is still having its issues. Seven workplace outbreaks and two long-term healthcare facility outbreaks, but it's going really, really well. I've been also watching how many Canadians want the border with the U.S. to stay closed, and that's up to 87% now. It keeps climbing every week.
Who knows what might happen if the borders were open? I think we would just lose entirely everybody who has enough money to just go get a summer rental in Ontario. Yeah.
Well, that's what Ontario is afraid of, because a lot of people do have summer rentals.
Yeah.
Along Lake Huron and along Lake Erie.
Oh yeah, I mean the cities are here are emptying out. Anybody with money is going to the countryside, and I'm sure that would include the Canadian countryside if they had the option.
Yeah, and so there are a lot of people with homes in that area, and I don't think that in a lot of cases when people come over and they have U.S. license plates, they don't get treated really as welcoming as maybe it used to be. But I know of one case where a common law couple who had been living together in an RV, actually up near where nearer where you are, that wanted to cross into Canada. She was from the U.S. He was from Canada, and as they went across the border, saying, "Well, they've been living together, you know, a year and a half. They're common law, but he hadn't applied for, or she hadn't applied for, either U.S. permanent, Canadian permanent residence. He hadn't applied for Canadian permanent residence, and so at the border they stopped them and sent her back to the U.S. and sent him on to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have couples that are separated because of the border restrictions. So I'm
hearing
stories like that as well. I'm hearing in Quebec, and between the provinces too. Sometimes people moving between provinces, they'll move into another province and all their stuff gets blocked at the border, and it's weird. So anyway, I want to say two things. I really enjoyed the opening song that you played. It really underlines the hope of this time, despite the despair of this time, because of what we're seeing in terms of in terms of what's happening now. So and also that you're a great guitar player. I mean, you know, I think.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm going to take a page for this one. The other thing I kind
something
of
hopeful.
Well, I don't. This isn't hopeful. This is kind of like a wear your damn mask parody.
Oh, that's good too. I wrote one like that too, because masks are great for a lot of things, including robbing banks.
Richard Thompson is a great guitar player and an influence on me. And this was a song I didn't have to change at all, really, almost. And Joel Landy does this all the time, so I'm kind of like getting in touch with my inner Joel Landy by doing a parody. But one of the reasons why I wanted to do it this week is that Lisa's girls, who we, you know, back when we were in the States, they were in the Ferndale High School marching band, and they had this woman in the town had two daughters, both the same age as Nora and Diane. One was in the same class as Nora, the other was 1 year ahead of Diane, but they played together in the marching band. And their mother had been in the hospital for COVID-19 for 100 days and passed away yesterday. And she, from the COVID-19, and quite a bit younger than me, this woman. So it really got me in this wear your damn mask. I'd written this parody before it, but I want to share it today because of yesterday's news. If I cross your path again, don't know where, who knows when, on some morning without number, on some sidewalk without end. Don't shake my hand that day, stay at least 6 feet away. This virus isn't fooling with us, friend. Keep your distance, keep your distance. If you're close to me, let's hold our breath, not exhale. Keep your distance. distance. Stay apart and wear our masks, and we won't fail. It's a dangerous game we play if we travel far away and spread infection when we cough or sneeze and droplet spray. So stay at home, locked down, till it's safe to move around. Though I know we all feel cooped up and somewhat frayed. Keep your distance, keep your distance. If you're close to me, let's hold our breath, don't exhale. Keep your distance, oh, keep your distance. Stay apart and wear our masks, and we won't fail. To me, let's hold our breath, don't exhale. Keep your distance, oh, keep your distance. Stay apart and wear our masks, and we won't fail. Stay apart and wear our masks, and we won't fail. Stay apart and wear our masks. We won't fail.
Excellent public service announcement.
A PSA from Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah, and the best PSAs are, you know, rhyming and sung, I think. So, yeah, excellent.
Indeed.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, David.
Come back soon.
Will do.
Good, good. And then moving back to across the border, and then about 800 to 900 miles south of the border, Bergie, wonderful to have you back. How are you holding up?
I'm doing well, doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Good.
Your neck of the woods has been in the news for all the wrong reasons lately. Things are pretty horrendous around there, it sounds like, in terms of the pandemic in Georgia.
Yeah, so I'm actually, I've got it a little bit worse. I'm down in Florida right now.
Oh my God, you just went from the frying pan into the fire just like for the fun of it, or what? What are you doing in Florida?
So I've got a lot of family in Florida. My dad just retired, so I came down here for his retirement ceremony, and I've just been staying down here with my parents for the past month and a half or so.
Wow.
My sister came down here, and now we're all kind of hunkered down together in Florida. So it's not the best place to be, but we're all together, so that's nice.
Right. And what part of Florida?
Kind of St. Pete area, St. Pete, Tampa.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's one of my favorite parts of Florida.
Yeah, it's nice. So we're close to the beach, which is nice, but also no one wears masks on the beach. So it's a little terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go out there today, it's not crowded during the weekdays, and I wear my mask and I do my beach yoga and stay very far away from everyone else.
Yeah, good.
That's been nice.
What's been happening with protests and stuff around St. Pete, Tampa?
So I haven't been super actively involved in the protests around here. They're still going on, but my mom is high risk. So we've all been kind of laying low.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to do what we can from afar.
But I wonder how many people would be protesting if there weren't so many people in your situation. Because I mean, as many people as have been on the streets, I often think like, gosh, if there weren't like millions of people afraid to go onto the streets, how many more would be out there? You know?
Oh my God, I know.
It's really quite something to think about when you see how many people are coming out anyway. You know?
It's insane. And I just saw something the other day saying that Trump is coming to Tampa on July 31st, and I may have to break in. I may have to go out and a little bit.
yeah. I look forward to hearing about that. You come back. What, you got a song, a new song for us, or an old song?
I've got a lot of new songs. So I've been working on.
Great.
Don't Panic. And I got a lot of new songs. I've been trying to figure out which one I want to play.
There's your ride.
Sirens, very apt.
Yeah. Here it's more helicopters than sirens in this neighborhood. I guess we must be on the flight path when the police are going from wherever they keep their helicopters to downtown.
Yeah. I've got a fire station right across the street from me, so I hear that all the time. Ah,
excellent.
Yeah. Are you Portland?
Yeah, in Portland. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. So you're right in the thick of it right now.
Federal officers snatching people off the streets. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. As if the local cops weren't bad enough. And they are.
Oh my God. No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I think I know what song I'm going to play. in light of, I don't even know what to call it, just blatant fascism being displayed in Portland right now, I'm gonna play a new song I wrote called Fascist Fuckface. it goes a little something like this. Donald Trump is a fascist fuckface. Donald Trump is a fascist fuckface. He's a fascist. He's a fuckface. Donald Trump is a fascist fuckface. Donald Trump is a racist fuckface. Donald Trump is a racist fuckface. He's a racist. He's a fuckface. Donald Trump is a racist fuckface. Donald Trump is a rapist fuckface. Donald Trump is a rapist fuckface. He's a rapist. He's a fuckface. Donald Trump is a rapist fuckface. Donald Trump is a pedophile fuckface. Donald Trump is a pedophile fuckface. He's a pedophile. He's a fuckface. Donald Trump is a pedophile fuckface. If you support him, I've got some bad news for you. He is a fascist fuckface. So are you. It's not too late to stop supporting him. Donald Trump is a fascist fuckface. Donald Trump is a fascist fuckface. He's a fascist. He's a fuckface. Donald Trump is a fascist fuckface. Donald Trump is a fascist fuckface. Donald Trump is a fascist fuckface. He's a fascist. He's a fuckface. Donald Trump is a fascist fuckface. Maybe he'll get COVID and he'll die after he pays for all his crimes.
That was amazing. But I think that's very short. You got another? That was fantastic.
Do you want to, I can do like a full length one if you want.
Oh, I mean, short, full length. I just think we need to hear more Bergie. You haven't been here for weeks either.
All right. Well, this one is called, the album is called Don't Panic. And the title track is called Don't Panic. And then this is kind of the reprise of that at the end. It's called Three Cheers for the Economy. I'm giving up. I'm buying in. I need more money. I need more friends. Please open up. Please let me in. I'm giving up. I'm buying in. Woo! I'm sick and tired of this stupid mask. Coronavirus can kiss my ass. Even the president said it's a hoax. You fucking sheeple, you fucking jokes. And if it is real, at least I live. I went to Subway and the bars and got my shitty haircut trimmed. I went to work and then came home and went to work and then came home. And if everybody else is dead, then they'll leave me the fuck alone. Three cheers for the economy. Economy, let's grab the gun, 995 says, find a me, so three cheers for the economy. I will work harder, than yesterday. We'll make it greater. Our USA will be the city upon the hill. I will work harder. Oh, yes, I will. Don't want a handout. I want to earn. How fucking dare they let a corporation burn? Don't you know they're people and they have feelings too? And bank accounts that pick the leaders of the red and blue. So three cheers for the condomio. Three cheers for the condomio. Well, 40 million Americans live in poverty and counting. Three cheers for the condomio. Well, we're giving in to fear. And now I can't tell men from pink. But we didn't start the fire. Oh, except, of course, we did. Everybody says we're giving in to fear, to fear. And now I can't tell man from pig, from pig. But we didn't start the fire. Oh, except, of course, we did. We did, we did, we did, we did, we did, we did. So three cheers for the economy. Oh, three cheers for the economy. Well, work makes free, oh my country. So three cheers for the economy, oh baby. Three cheers for the economy, oh. Three cheers for the economy. I bought a brand new lobotomy and turned my back on camaraderie because we're fucked from sea to shining sea. So three cheers for the economy. Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray! Die.
Hey. Fantastic, Bergy. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Thanks so much for coming back.
Absolutely, thanks for having me. Sorry I've been absent the past few weeks. Just a lot going on.
There's other things going on, moving to Florida, for example, but come back soon if you can.
Yeah, absolutely, I'd love to. Thanks for keeping on inviting me.
Oh, hell yeah. And what's the album called again? Don't Panic.
Don't Panic.
And people can find it on the streaming platforms and stuff?
Not yet. So I just finished writing it the other day, and I'm pretty psyched about that. So now I'm going to hunker down for like the next month or so and just record it, mix it up.
Cool.
And hopefully put it out by the end of August.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah. But I'll get a single or two out there before that. So I'll let you know when I've got some singles out.
Cool. Good.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon, I hope.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, David.
Thank you.
Peace.
And then, sorry to cut you off there, but crossing back across the Canadian border to another expat who is living in a saner place, Mike Marker. Great to have you back. How's BC?
It's great to hear firsthand about Portland, too.
Oh, yeah.
David, you must just be going nuts. You must be just like... you know, it's almost like a moment when, I mean, if there ever was a moment when you almost can't write a song about it. It's just so present. It's so real. And it's happening. And yet that's the time when, you know, the songs emerge, when you're right in the middle of things.
But yeah, there's definitely too much ground to cover.
it must be just crazy for you. And who knows where it's headed. I mean, I listen to the CBC every day to hear about it. I watch the PBS NewsHour, and you know, it's like it's unrelenting. And this president has absolutely no respect for anything but himself. And I guess his niece's book demonstrates that. And it just came out, and apparently, it just shows he's been a narcissist essentially his whole life.
This is true, but if you're looking at those news sources, you would think that there are progressive people in power in Oregon that are outraged by troops in the streets beating everybody, and that's just a whole bunch of bullshit.
Well,
that's not
like
that's
the
not
mayor,
what's going on.
Yeah, the mayor
they're the ones beating people. The mayor's the police commissioner, and the police are a racist bunch of fuckwads, and they've been killing black people and other people in this city for this. This city has the highest rate of killing of black men by police per capita in the United States on some years. It has a history of white supremacy, and the mayor and the governor are just neck deep in ethnic cleansing of this city and have been for decades. So that so they're
incredible, man.
Yeah, all the outrage is fake.
And I have not heard a single voice like yours on any of these on the CBC or PBS. And those are both presumably you know, they're the opposite of fake news, right? So that's what we're listening
to. They're long form. It's long form journalism, so it gives the impression of being more accurate, but it's just most of the progressive cities in this country are totally unaffordable to live in, and that's not a coincidence. And if there's nothing progressive about a progressive who runs a place that the average family cannot afford to live in. That's the opposite of progressive, whether or not you're allowed to use their bathroom.
Yeah. Here's just a little thing to think about. You got to know that what you're saying is absolutely true when you think about the opening lines to many PBS programs. We thank you for your generous contribution to listener-supported radio. You know, and they say it just like that. You know, if you listen to the Morning Edition, you know, this is listener-supported radio. Well, the listeners that can support the radio more probably get to listen to what they support.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
what you got for us?
I thought to myself, I was getting a little bit depressed because, and this is a very depressing thought, but I am encouraged still. I don't get depressed, but as Joe Hill said, don't mourn, organize, right? And and that's kind of what inspires me. And the thing that does really bring me down is that very soon, in a few weeks, we're going to have the anniversary of the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima. And that is such a hideous thought, and that history is so dark. And as a historian, I know there's much controversy about whether Truman really needed to drop that bomb.
At this point, I'm not sure if there's any controversy except among the leaders of the country, you know. I mean, because all the history has become much more clear in terms of they were trying to surrender.
And they wanted to make a point to the Russians, to the Soviets. Yeah. We've got the bomb.
Yeah, it wasn't a military thing.
So that entire history, you know, that is crystallized by the execution. I would even call it the murders, the state murders of Ethel and Julius Rosenberg. That is part of the story that continues on. So, and we don't hear that when we hear, you know, when kids in high school read about the ending of the war. It's all about, this was all a necessary thing and just, you know, inevitable. What it does is it creates this abstraction about war. And so I want to do a song, one of the most obscure and powerful songs that is not known by one of the most obscure and powerful songwriters that's also not well known enough. And it's my mentor and great friend, Utah Phillips. And he wrote this song.
Look out from your schoolroom window. Look up, young children, from your play. Wave your hand at the shining airplane. Such a beautiful sight is an Enola Gay. It's many a mile from the Utah desert. Indian Island, far away, standing guard by the barbed wire fences that hide the secret of Enola Gay. high above the clouds, in the sunlit silence, so peaceful here, I'd like to stay. But there's many a pilot who would swap his pension for a chance to fly an old again. What is that sound? High above my city, I rush outside and search the sky. Now we're running to find the shelter. Air raid sirens start to cry. What will I say when my children ask me, where was I flying on that day? With a trembling voice, I gave the order to the bombardier of an old gay. Look out, look out from your schoolroom window. Look up, young children, from your play. Your bright young eyes will turn to ashes in the blinding light of an oligarchy. I turn to see fireball rising. My God, my God, all I can say. I hear a voice within me crying. My mother's name was Enola Gay. Look out, from your schoolroom window. Look up, young children, from your play. And when you see the warplanes flying, each one is named Enola Gay. Look out from your schoolroom window. Look up, young children, from your play. And when you see any warplanes flying, each one is named Enola Gay.
That's fantastic, Mike. That was, you know, that guitar part. I'm just going to steal that whole thing, because I like to sing that song too. But Utah's guitar part for that song is kind of like banging on two chords, you know, and that is just so much. So much nicer. That's so good.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah. Thank you so much, really.
Yeah, thank
always
you.
A pleasure to show up here and listen to you and hear everybody and you know and you know, have a good talk and catch up. I think it lifts all of our spirits, and then of course there's the music, and so you're doing a really wonderful thing, and I want to continue to be part of it. So I'll see you next
Thanks.
Week. Okay.
I'm so glad you'll come back. Yeah, I really enjoy all the just hanging out with everybody on the show. You know, it's always Monday morning. It's good. Thank you, Mike. And hopping across the continent and then to the across the border as well to New York. Joe Landy.
Hello.
Construction work in your apartment, apparently.
Yeah. The handyman was here playing with the fuses. We would like to put an air conditioner in the living room, but the electric doesn't allow for that. We had to find that out. We also had a ceiling fan put in, and it was making noise. So you could either live with that or can't. So first world problem, you know.
Yeah, right. But you're having a heat wave there too? Is it in the 90s or something like it is here?
Yeah, it's 95 degrees right now in New York City, and there's a real feel of over 100 degrees, which is a good day to get your electricity fixed. So
that's for sure. And it's also really humid as well.
Yeah, you know, it's New York.
It's New York.
Tokyo's like this also at this time of the year. I'm sure we're not alone. I want to mention
Tokyo is a lot hotter than New York normally, and I grew up around New York, and it never got into the 90s when I was a kid.
Oh, but the second half of July and in August, that's the way it is around here. It's very humid. You know,
really? Yeah, humid. But usually in the 80s, right? As I recall, maybe I just blocked out all the memories of the 90s because it was too painful. I don't know, but maybe I don't remember it ever going above 90 when I was a kid. But
it's a three-shower day. It's a three-shower. You mark the day by how many showers you have to take.
Definitely.
Just put a garden hose in your bedroom and go under the sprinkler. I've been thinking about you a lot this week because I've been running around being with the handyman and everything like that. I wanted to hear the report from Portland for this week. Things are getting ugly and you're a known quantity, David. I don't want you to disappear in an unmarked car.
Yeah, so far they haven't snatched me from my apartment. And when I'm out and about, I usually have like a small child in a stroller. So I was thinking, like, if they're going to snatch me, and like, what are they going to do with the baby? You know, they probably just won't bother. You know.
So wait a minute. You introduced me to an idea. We have to wear masks to prevent ourselves from getting sick. Maybe we should have like a cardboard baby, you know, put on our back so we could walk around with it so they won't take us.
The cardboard baby might be a good idea, although I definitely don't necessarily recommend the stroller because so many unhoused people also push around strollers. And so sometimes, drivers that don't like the homeless, they're more likely to speed up rather than slow down when they see you with a stroller. You know, I see people looking, are their legs sticking out of the stroller? Oh, it's a real baby. Okay. You know, it's like, God, you know, it's a fucking weird world.
Yeah, well, I want you to know that people do think about you and the city you live in, and that's a warm up. That and Lafayette Park was all a cue up for what's coming up next.
Yeah, right. Yeah, test cases. We'll see
and
what's
if
coming.
We cancel the postal service, there can't be mail-in ballots. You know.
So right. Yeah. Yeah.
Part of the scenario here.
Right. Cancel anyway. The election and send the troops in. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, General Barr wouldn't mind. That's his job. At least it was in Washington, D.C. So Joanne Kasdan rewrote an old song that was written by Stephen Foster 100 years ago. And you could sing along with this. You probably know it. It's the song, the sigh of the weary. How we changed the word here. COVID, COVID, come again no more. Many days you have lingered at each and every door. Oh, COVID, come back no more. Now, I live in New York. We faced COVID back in March, and it really hurt us a lot. But we learned what to do, and we brought the numbers down. And now, as we enjoy our success, we see Florida and Texas and Georgia and many other, Arizona, going through the roof with their numbers, and people travel. So our numbers are bound to rise again. So I sing COVID come back no more. Well, it started far away, and it took us by surprise. This sickness no one ever saw before. But it cruised across the ocean and it flew here in the skies. Oh, COVID, come again no more. Some places they were ready, they were quick to organize, while others wasted time just keeping score. But the failures of the foolish, they will fall upon the wise. Oh, COVID, come again no more. It's the song, the sigh of the weary. Oh, COVID, COVID, come again no more. Many days you have lingered each at every door. Oh, COVID, come back no more. Now our families are in danger and our faces in disguise, isolated, laid off, and growing poor. cause the whole wide world is watching and changing, and we can only cry, oh, COVID, come again no more. It's the song, the sigh of the weary, oh, COVID, COVID, come again no more. Many days you have lingered at each and every door. Oh, COVID, come again no more. And when our worst days are over, what will we recognize of the future that waits beyond the door? Will we turn on each other or be grateful for our lives, singing COVID, come again no more? It's the song, the sigh of the weary, oh, COVID, COVID, come again no more. Many days you have lingered at each and every door, oh, COVID, come again no more. Many days you have lingered at each and every door, COVID, come again no more.
Hear, hear. Excellent idea. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
See you again soon.
See you next time.
Great.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
Absolutely. Joker, clown for mayor. Speaking of the...
Yeah.
See ya. Oh, I loved that movie. And the slogans that he could get arrested for actually, you know, shouting in public. But in the movie, it was okay, apparently. Well, thanks everybody out there for joining us all for the 13th weekly Pandemic Open Mic Monday. Number 14 will happen next week, and I hope to see regulars and newcomers there. And yeah, you're all welcome out there. In case you are thinking, oh, you need to be like, you know, a white guy who plays the acoustic guitar in order to be a part of this open mic, that is not the case. Other people are very welcome, along with, you know, white guys who play acoustic guitar, you know, which I happen to be one of. Anybody else is very welcome, and you don't need to be into folk music or acoustic music or any of that stuff. You know, we are it's a very ecumenical open mic in theory. Hope to see folks signing up for any of the future ones. And again, if you do sign up for any of them, basically you then are going to receive emails every Monday from me before the open mic starts at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. GMT. You'll get the link to the broadcast studio, and you can click on it and join or skip it and come back the following week. You know, it's just that's how it is. So, and if you know any musicians or poets or storytellers who might be interested in participating in the open mic, especially if you think they're good, please tell them about it so they can sign up and join a future one, because it's always great to have new people. Although the regular crowd of folks that keep coming are wonderful, and it's, I think, always a really cool musical update on the past week's events in different parts of the world with regards to viruses and protests and other things. And tomorrow at the same time, I will be the host of Fifth Estate Live, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, in all likelihood, I'll be interviewing people as well. And I hope to see you all here in cyberspace and perhaps out on the streets as well. Bye-bye. Don't pay the rent. Mutual aid will get you through. And don't be afraid of your neighbors.